Welcome to City Talk with Sabrina Bangle and Lee Bettis.
Hello, New Bern, and guess what? It is Friday once again, and welcome to City Talk. You are live today. I'd like to say with Lee and Sabrina, you got Sabrina here, but Lee's a little under the weather, so we've got our new partner in crime here and our producer, Mr. Eric Queen. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good, and thanks so much for jumping in there with me at the last minute and, talking about what's going on in New Bern. So this is great. Lee said to make sure everybody knows he's got a cold. He's not feeling good. He doesn't have COVID. You know, the dreaded COVID. You know, we're almost there, aren't we?
Yeah. I like that, how when he sent that text message, like, and you get this from a lot of people now where they always want to put, I'm not feeling good. By the way, it's not COVID.
Yeah.
Like everybody wants to put this disclaimer in there.
You do have to preface everything. Good morning to Lisa. And, you know, we hope everybody's going to come on board. I see we've got a few people joining us already. Share our video. Get out. We want to talk about what people are talking about in New Bern. You know, the week kind of started off rough. It was, you know, rainy. And then, man, did it get cold or what? I mean, people the other night, I don't know if it was Wednesday night. Yeah, it was Wednesday or Thursday night. They were soup. I saw soup and grilled cheese sandwiches and people in flannel pajamas on Facebook. So, you know, here it was. You know, we're getting to the middle of May, and it was really cold.
It was.
It was just kind of the weather. You know, New Bern weather, you never know from one day to the next. And so I think yesterday was absolutely gorgeous. A little cool in the morning, but as the day went on, it warmed up. I think it's going to be another beautiful day today. So, you know, welcome to beautiful Eastern North Carolina.
Well, we need a good night tonight because Art Walk's back tonight.
Art Walk is back.
And Footloose and the News.
And we're going to be talking about the city today a little bit in our first half hour. We had a meeting Tuesday. We're going to talk about that. And you want to stay tuned because in our second half hour, we're going to be welcoming some of the representatives from the state Babe Ruth tournament, girls softball tournament, is going to be held right here in our county, in our city, and we're going to have softball girls and their families everywhere. I think they're expecting about 500 people.
That's what I'm being told. It's like 50 teams from across the state. I mean, they're going to be on here to talk to us a little bit about it, but I was actually really excited about when I heard that because I didn't know nothing about it.
Right.
I'm like, how many people are coming here?
Right.
Hotel business.
Right. And really, you know what? I'm sorry. You know, Joel, you're so good. I need to make you my producer. He's just really on the go here. But he posted about plein air. So plein air is happening. It's been happening all week. It is fantastic. People are saying to me, have you seen those artists all downtown? We have people here from all over our country painting. And they're outside, and you can go to, he's posted it right here, and find out about Plein Air, and it's spelled P-L-E-I-N, Air, New Bern. And you might want to even find the site and pull that up for us so people can see it.
Yeah, I'll pull it up.
It has been fantastic. Last night, Steve and I were coming back from dinner and driving down Pollock Street and had an artist in front of the gates of Tryon Palace at night painting, had a light on her, and people standing around watching her. I mean, that's what's so cool about our little town. You know, I mean, it's things like that that make it so really special and inviting, and people get here and go, wow, this is cool.
Yeah, like I said, my family's down here right now visiting. My dad came in from Ohio because my daughter graduating at NC State, and we took him, you know, downtown last night, and I mean, he was just in awe. He's like, I mean, this town, he's like, this is just gorgeous. He's like, this is like, it's like a little downtown, and it's like you got like that big feel and a little, you know, home. So, they absolutely loved it.
Yeah,
so
it's PleinAirNewBern.com. There it is. It's on our screen. Check it out. They've been on all week. It will continue through the weekend, and you don't want to miss it. I mean, I think it's just really fascinating. Of course, tonight, as you mentioned, it's Art Walk. And our streets will come alive with artists, and this is a big part of it. Go into the galleries, shop our shops, dine in our restaurants. So I think that's good. You know, dining in the streets. The streets will close at 5 o'clock tonight. What more could you ask for? It's going to be beautiful out, a little cool, but you know, it's a great night to sit outside, drink a glass of wine, and eat some great food, which we have all over our downtown. So it's really a good thing. I'm excited that this event, which was postponed from last year, is here in our town. And, you know, a shout out, I'm sure she's listening far off in Florida, but our good friend Eileen Bress, who was the past executive director of the Craven County Arts Council. She is the one that really worked to get Plein Air here, and what a great, you know, move that was. A lot of people in our community, having people walking our streets, seeing this art unfold before our eyes, I think is really cool. So kudos to her. Good thing for New Bern. Get out and enjoy it tonight, and get out and enjoy Art Walk. I think it's going to be a good thing. All right, everybody, let's talk about what happened in the city this week.
Yeah.
I will let me start by saying officially today is Mark Stevens' last day, and I do want to thank Mark for his service the past 10 years to our city. You know, he came in 2011 to be our director of public works, and you know, held that position until I guess 2014, I believe. He came in as the first interim city manager, and then our city manager. And so it's a 10-year run with the city. Smart young man, and has a lot on the ball. I know he's going to have an extremely bright future. Got a lot of energy, probably more energy than I ever thought about having. And so I guess that's good. That's how he kept me on my toes. But I do want to thank him for all that he's done for the city of New Bern, his vision and his work. And, you know, I just wish him well.
Yeah. So what's the process moving forward? You know, like, I mean, obviously there's going to be an interim person.
We've already named the interim person. So on Tuesday night, we did at the end of the meeting go into a closed session, and we came out of closed session and we made a vote to put Foster Hughes, who is the director of Parks and Recreation, in as the interim city manager. So he will assume that role after 5 o'clock today when Mark Stevens' tenure is over. And
yeah, so can you clarify this for me?
Sure.
And I get it, you guys appoint an interim, but eventually you're going to select the next official city manager for the city of New Bern. Which, now this is a little bit different process than anybody else that would come work for the city, correct? Or is it?
Not really. So, yes, the process is that at some point we're going to put it out there. We'll work with our director of human resources, Sonia Hayes, and we will draft up a job description based on what the Board of Aldermen now, because this position reports to the Board of Aldermen.
Right, that was my question. Yeah. Like, isn't
it
there
reports
just
to
him
the board
and the
of
city Aldermen. Attorney are both report directly to the board? So
that
does the board
and our finance director?
Okay,
those are the three positions.
So are these like the three positions that like the board, for lack of better terms, has the higher fire authority over?
Correct. That is correct. Those are the only three positions. We do not hire or fire any of the department heads, anybody else in the city. So those are the positions. So we'll work with her. We'll put out the job description. It'll be a national search. We'll go through the League of Municipalities, which represents all the municipalities in the state of North Carolina. We'll go through the ICMA, which is the International City Managers Association, and we'll put that notice out there. And then we'll go through a process. I've been through this process before when we hired Mike Epperson, and you know, the resumes come in. Basically, the HR director and our interim city manager will look through them and kind of get the cream of the crop and the people that'll meet. And, you know, might come down. I think the first time we had 25 that were, you know, deserved a look. Mm. So we went ahead and then they culled those down to the top five. And once we got the top five, then we brought them in for interviews. Now, in this world, it's different. You know, they do a lot through Zoom and other things now.
Sure.
So that process may be different. The thing I want to say, and I'm not sure about, is that I'm not sure when that process is going to start, because there is some discussion amongst the Board of Aldermen that we may kick this down the road to the next board, since we are somewhat late in our term. Now, with that being said, we don't know
when
our
term... Do we even know when your term ends?
We have no idea when our term is going to end. So, you know, not sure of that. So we're going to be discussing that, because right now it looks like we're going to be in office at least for the next year.
Yeah.
Could be a little bit longer, but at least one more year.
Has the General Assembly given any indication?
We're hearing, and we talked about that Tuesday night, we're hearing in about a week to 10 days, there is something moving, a bill, some legislation... and we're waiting to see the outcome of that. We do know, again, that it's being strongly advised that we do not hold an election. We do not open filing in July and hold election in October because we have not redrawn our wards, right, which would open up the opportunity for a candidate or somebody that wanted to run, mm-hmm, to sue us or to sue the city, to sue the Board of Elections, because the wards have to be evened out.
Yeah. Now am I correct or am I wrong to assume that, in my opinion, to me it seems it's a better idea for this current board to be that redistricting?
Yes. No, the current board has to has to redistrict. We cannot have an election per the state laws because we elect by wards. Now, if we were an at-large community,
there would be no issue.
There would be no issue, and we could go ahead and have election. It wouldn't matter. But because we vote by wards, we know that our wards are not equal, then we have to go ahead and redistrict. So this board will have to redistrict. We're expecting the information to be able to do that, sometime in September.
Yeah.
Not really sure yet. So, and it's going to take a few months to really get all that information, look at the stuff, have it debated, all of the above. So, again, the earliest I think we probably can pull an election would probably be March. And if that's the case, could go as late as May.
Is there any chance, and I know not everybody's on the same sheet of music as me on this one, but is there any chance that this process can result in us having our elections on the even number of years?
No. Well, I've tried. I've tried for almost 3 years now. I've stated my case. I've had Melanie in there. It's ridiculous to spend the amount of money that we are going to have to spend to do the election in that manner.
I don't understand the pushback.
They're afraid of the runoff. If we go to the even year, to save money, we'd have to go to the even year November election, one election. And the rest of the members do not like that. They want runoffs in case there's multiple people running. So Joel, our biggest fan, he says, please specify what you mean when you say equal. They're not equal. So what happens, Joel, is that
population.
It has to do with population. So if the census says we have 30,000 people, which it's probably going to say, that means six wards. Each ward has to have 5,000 people in the ward. So you would represent, and then there's a plus or minus of 5% in there. So plus or minus 5%, 5,000 people in each ward. So what's happened is, it looks like a lot of growth, Carolina Colors, Blue Water Rise. It's just the growth has been exponential there. So the third ward really is going to need to be looked at and say, okay, where, if we draw this line, how many people are here? And if it's more than what's currently in there, well, then somebody's got to take that overage and it's got to go into somebody else's ward, because it may be somebody else's ward only has 3,500 people or 4,000 people. So
does that new development, I live in Ward 3.
Uh-huh. Right?
There's a new development going in off of Old Airport Road between Longleaf
Blue Hardy Farms back in there.
Yeah, right next door to Hardy Farms.
Right.
That new development right there, that inside city limits, or is that?
Yes, it is.
So, and how many homes?
We don't know, but it will be the amount of people in that ward as of 2020. So, it could build out in the next 5 years and be that many more. That's why it's just really important that we try to keep our wards balanced as best as possible. So we've had growth in the third ward. We've had growth in the fifth ward, which is the Lake Tyler area.
Right.
Out there, they're building homes like crazy out there, people moving in. So that's going to skew those numbers. So again, everybody then, first, second, fourth ward are going to have to be, sixth ward are going to have to be adjusted then based on the population growth. So that's what we're in for. That's what we've got to do. We'll be in the process, but we got to get the numbers first. So as soon as we get those official numbers, then we will go to town and try to figure all of this out. But that's what's going to hold up things. So
has this gone smooth in the past?
Diane, good morning. I just, one of my favorite peoples. So the ward across the bridge may be split in two. No, it probably won't be split in two. The ward that's across the bridge right now had across the bridge plus I'm going to say, a part of mainland New Bern. You know, I don't know how else to put that. So the Third Ward right now includes Old Town coming in, Lawson Creek Park, down Walt Bellamy Drive. There's also, it's the back half of Ghent is in the Third Ward. That will probably go away because there's enough people over the bridge that they won't need mainland New Bern to get to that 5,000 number. So that's where the going back and forth is you know, going to happen. But again, you know, all great questions. We're going to be working on it. Happy to try to explain it as many times when we get to that point. Maybe we can even have, we've got Alice Wilson, who is our GIS guru extraordinaire. She is the most incredible person when it comes to mapping and statistics and data. Yep. And she is the one that will drive all this. She'll get the statistics. She'll get all the aldermen and show us where the numbers are. And then it'll be our job to go in there and use a little bit of backdoor wrangling. Okay, you take this, I'll take that. You know, and it happens. The truth be known, it happens. Mm-hmm. All good things.
Is there community input on it when you guys, like?
We have a public hearing, yes. So we will have a public hearing. You know, everything you meet, to have a meeting, to have another meeting, to meet, to have a public hearing, and then make the decisions. Yeah. So, you know.
So even after you guys get this data, I mean, like, you still can't hold the next election because
we've got to get it. Yeah, we've got to go through the process. So that's what I'm saying. There'll be no election in 21. So we will not have an election in 21. We'll go into 22. I just don't know when in 22. Yeah. Could be as early as March, could be May, could be as late as just leaving it to October of next year. If we do that, again, still, we're going to spend
like
70,000.
There's requirements that you guys have to go through. And those meetings only happen so often. So it's, hey, we're going to do this on this day, kick it to public meeting on this day, bring it back on this day. I mean, that's 3-4 months.
I know. So we've got a lot on our plates in this next coming year. All good news. So, I mean, I think it's only leads to good growth and whatever. So there's a little bit going on right now on the site. People are making some interesting comments. Let's take the easy one first, and it's, what's going on with the gas situation in New Bern? Nada. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of them are out, but I will tell you that the city did get a delivery of gas for our city and emergency vehicles. You know, we fuel PD, we fuel school buses, we fuel the sheriff's department, and it was rough there for a couple of days because we had to shut our pumps down because we only had about one day's supply. So we had to get our people, sheriffs, everybody had to go to the outside pumps and get gas because we had to save it in case of a real emergency. But we did get a delivery, so now those vehicles are all being fueled at the city fuel tank. So that's the good news. Now, I don't know when the rest of our state is going to come back up, but they say by the end of the weekend we should be somewhat back. What are you seeing as you're traveling?
I mean that's what I heard, is that, you know, the pipeline is flowing again, but it's going to take a couple of days for everything to get back to to where it was. So
somebody said, well, I had to wait 30 minutes. It's not so bad. I do so I'm part of that old crowd. You're not old enough, but I was in high school, had a car in the 70s, and, you know, no gas. I had to wait in line forever. And that was, they limited you to $5 worth of gas. Now, of course, gas was about a dollar a gallon.
That was like a full tank, right?
Well, you know, $5, you got $5 worth of gas. That's all you could buy was $5 worth of gas. And I remember, because there was a gas station about a block from the house, but the line of cars went almost up to my house, you know, to get in line for the car. And, you know, it was, you know, just did it. But these people, oh, I'd wait 30 minutes, you know. I guess don't ever take anything for granted again. And be careful. To the hoarders out there, shameful. Shameful. Diane, I was 16. I think, I was probably 17, honey. I'm trying to think about it.
What caused that shortage in the 70s?
It was the oil embargo. They had an oil embargo back then, and it was just a gas shortage, and it was crazy times. It was crazy times, but these are situations, and we've got to realize how blessed and lucky we are. To you hoarders, stop it. Leave your gas cans at home, fill your car up, and, you know, conserve what you're doing, but don't be going there with 10 things and filling them up. Let's make sure everybody can have a full tank in their car, and then, you know, if we can get the other, we can get the other, you know, even if you had to wait a week.
There were so many in the news this morning, just people have gallons of gas in their car, and their car just melts.
Yeah.
It just starts fires, and then
I know, it's just not good common sense.
People are, like, fighting in gas
stations,
yes, parking lots.
Oh, my. I saw on the news, some man and woman were punching each other.
Yeah.
Yes, it was terrible. Oh, so, you know, I guess we're just going to have to do this. You're right. Jimmy Carter's policies caused the gas shortage in the 70s. You know, Jennifer, I'm not sure about that. When was he president? Because I think he got elected in 76. I don't think he was elected until 1976, because I remember I was in college, had a very long discussion with a young lady who lived on my dorm hall about nobody would ever elect a Southerner. Of course, back then I was entrenched in the North, and he did. But, you know, he didn't get elected, I think, until 76. So this was prior to that. Might have been, it was probably during Nixon. Diane said it sure would be nice to have the North Carolina mask mandate lifted by Memorial Day. So let's just briefly talk about that. You know, I'm glad to see the CDC finally woke up.
Yeah.
And has made the statement they have made. You know, my thought process on that is, please use common sense. If you are not, you know, if you're not comfortable, if you don't feel safe, that is your choice. You wear that mask, and you wear it indoor, outdoor, wherever you feel, because if that's what makes you feel safe and secure and you feel good about yourself, then do that. For those of you who feel that way but don't want to wear a mask and feel that you're safe, you're vaccinated, you're good to go, then do that. I mean, let's just let everybody use their own good common sense and stop trying to decide what other people should do.
Yeah, that was my problem with the whole thing
from the
very
beginning. That was my problem for the whole thing from the beginning, too.
Is you know, like, if, to me, you know, we had, you know, some businesses that made the decision, you know, whether that be because they felt forced from the governor's executive order or, you know, or whatever. The way I've always looked at it is, if I didn't need a government to tell me anything. If a business on their own decided we're going to make everybody wear a mask, I have a choice to either go there or not to go there.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have a choice, you know, to do everything. And now it's like, now we're getting to this thing where, like, people are vaccinated and, you know, the CDC is coming out and saying, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Well, then, I mean, what are you going to do now? Go up to people in the middle of the Harris Teeter and ask them?
Yeah.
Like,
you know what my issue is with that? The whole thing is, whatever happened to HIPAA?
Right.
You know, everywhere we go, we got to sign our lives away for HIPAA, because nobody can know our medical information and it's private and it's this and that. So I don't understand how you could even begin to ask somebody. Do you know, like, with my
HR no desire
stuff,
to ask
I
anybody.
Have to keep, like, separate folders. If anybody has any medical, let's say they out sick and have to bring a note or whatever it may be, it has to go in a separate folder in a separate locked cabinet, because the law requires that you segregate people's medical information, and it cannot be revealed to anybody. And there's very strict guidelines on that. So this whole thing bothers me in that sense. So, you know, I mean, I don't get that. I just don't get that. If you want to be vaccinated, absolutely, you should do that for the good of yourself, your family, whatever. Not, you know, do it. But I don't think people should be going around saying, are you vaccinated? Are you vaccinated? Are you vaccinated?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to reveal that, knock yourself. That's your private information. I mean, did we ever go around and ask people, do you have a flu vaccine? Do you have a flu vaccine? You know? Never. So, you know, not sure about all this. I want to get away from that conversation. Doesn't make me happy, because, you know, this is New Bern and we love everybody and we want to be kind with everybody. So I know you wanted to ask me something else.
During the meeting on Tuesday, and you know, I watched it and I was really interested about the city's mobile stage.
Yes.
You know, and how that's utilized. Because I know it was brought up, correct me if I'm wrong, on any of this, but apparently there was, like, a motion made or to be able
direction.
To utilize that stage as part of the Juneteenth celebration and have it as an in-kind, you know, contribution, which, again, like, you know, at the bat, when I hear that, I'm like, well, yeah, if we have the asset, I mean, this is a good celebration. This is a great cause. We should utilize the stage for that.
But
then I started listening to your guys' conversation, and it reminded me of, like, okay, well, we also have to be equal across the board? Are we going to put ourselves in this situation where we're picking and choosing who can and cannot? What stops another organization from coming to the city and saying, well, my, you know, thing is just as important as...
Yes, and so the mobile stage was purchased because the stage that we had at Union Point Park was destroyed by Florence.
Right.
So we were able to get insurance money. So what happened was to rebuild that stage was somewhere around $50,000 to $60,000 to rebuild that stage. And as we, you know, talked about it and looked at it, we said, well, darn, what if we had a mobile stage? And, you know, Foster Hughes was showing us information. We said, we could take that stage, and if it's something at Union Point, great. You know, why would we build something permanent when then we need something at Lawson Creek Park, or we need something for a festival here, something the city is doing? You know, it would be awesome to be able to have our own mobile stage. So we looked at it, and I believe this one cost us about $100,000. We were able, you know, we had the funds between insurance and FEMA and everything like that, that we were able to purchase this. And let me tell you, state-of-the-art, beautiful. But this is a piece of machinery that you just don't let somebody say, can I borrow your stage, and you take it down the street. It requires that we have, you know, technicians with it. It requires two. They know how to open it, close it, operate it during the stage. It's awesome. So what happened was we got it last year, but of course, because of COVID, we never used it. And so it just kind of sat there. So we did have a request from a church to use it for Easter services. And that's when we, you know, we started the discussion of what do we need to do. So we decided that we were going to rent it. So if people want to use it, I think the fee, it's $2,000 to rent it. And then you pay $35 an hour for the two technicians to be there to open, close it, whatever the fees are.
It's actually pretty reasonable.
Yeah. So if you went, what we did is, I think we charge a little bit more than the private sector. We do not want to compete with the private sector. So you could go someplace and rent a stage like that for less than what we're doing. And don't quote me on the 2,000. It might be 2,500, whatever it
whatever,
is.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we told them, if you want to use it, this is the rental fee. Here's the rental fee. So I think the mayor was not happy with that decision. Mm-hmm. He feels like if we have it, people should be able to use it. But, you know, we do want to make sure that we're recovering our cost, the use of it, the maintenance, the wear and tear on it, whatever. And these are outside events. Now, Juneteenth wants to become part of our city-sponsored event. I, like you, I think it's a good thing. It's a good celebration. I hope that they will bring it forward into more into the public realm, not back in one little neighborhood, so that all citizens and people can really flock to it and grow it like it should probably be grown. So that was the discussion back and forth about do we let them use it as in-kind, whatever. So I think the agreement was, yes, let's use it. This is the kind of opportunity that we do. Now, you know, for every group that comes forward, they're not a city-sponsored event.
Right.
They would have to pay for it. It's just a cost of doing business. And it is out there. We want people to use it. But again, we're going to use it for things that are going to be for all citizens, not ticketed events. You don't have to pay for it, things like that. So we really... you know, want it to be that way. So I think that's a good thing.
And is there a process of like, this is how something becomes a city sponsored event? Like I would picture in my mind before you even qualify for that. And again, I think Juneteenth would qualify for this. Cause I think that's a great celebration is like, it's something that's been happening. Like it can't just be, this is the first time we're doing it. It should be like, we've done it for 5 years now. This is what we're bringing into the community.
In 2011, maybe 2012, under the leadership of Mike Epperson, we decided because people were coming to us, such as the Bridge Run and, of course, Mumfest and other things, and saying, you know, we just got this quote, how much, you know, you're requiring security, and security is going to cost us, you know, $2,000 or $1,500. And is there any way the city can donate that services? And we were like, no, you know, we can't do this. So we decided to sit down and make a list of what we thought the city sponsored events are. And I'm sorry, I don't have that handy right now, but there's a list. I know it's Mumfest. I know it's the Bridge Run. And there's other ones. Berry Merry Christmas, I think, is a city-sponsored event. And so there is some criteria there. And what we do is we don't write people checks. We don't sponsor. So when we call it city-sponsored, we are a sponsor, but we're a sponsor with services. We're not we're not a sponsor with cash.
Cash, right.
So what happens is we go ahead and that list was made. And originally, that was supposed to be the permanent list. No additions, no subtractions. That was the list so that we could be done forever and we wouldn't have people coming and going. So I think after that, they added, there was a George Washington tour and somebody got to one of the aldermen or whatever. I was not on the board at the time. Mm-hmm. And they decided to add that as a city-sponsored event. Well, that thing happened one time.
Right. Yeah. And that was my point.
Then, and then never happened again.
There should be a proven track record.
Yeah, that should begin. Yes. And I think that's a really good point. Maybe we can debate that and talk about that. Mm-hmm. But we don't want everybody to be a city-sponsored event. At some point, you know, we've got to stop it. Right. This is it. Because, you know, everything has a cost. That's what people, and you know, I hear people say, well, I pay taxes. Yes, we all pay taxes. But those taxes, we're trying to do, you know, quality of life things. We're trying to sidewalks and streets and, you know, increase police presence, increase fire presence, all of this. You know, I think it's important that people understand that, you know, we have to make a lot of hard decisions sometimes in how mm-hmm. we spend our money. And, you know, we have to pick and choose sometimes. And it's really a hard decision. I'm going to be honest with you. It's very difficult from the seat that I sit in. But we want to make sure that our citizens, you know, things like 4th of July. Now, that is not a city-sponsored event. It's a city event. Because it is totally put on by the city.
Yeah.
It's their event. It is a city event. It is not a city-sponsored event. That's different.
It's probably typical of most holidays, right?
Yes. So that is different. So that's something where the city mm-hmm. totally is responsible for fireworks and things like that. There were times, you know, we've gone, there's been twice since I've lived here for the 40 years that the city canceled 4th of July because they didn't have the money for fireworks. And one time we did have a local business that stepped up and put up cash to sponsor it because the city was in financial ways. And it's just, you know, it was a difficult time for our city. And when you can't do it, you can't do it. I think we're much better positioned and we have things in a better.
My neighborhood puts on quite the impressive illegal fireworks display
every July. I know nothing. I think it's time that we go ahead and transition and get our guest in here that we're going to talk about the girls'
Babe Ruth softball tournament.
So let's get her in here. Let's get her mic'd up. And in the meantime, thank you, everybody, for all the comments that are going on here. You know, lots of comments about CDC, about the science, about all of this. And, you know, I'm going to let you all debate that. I'm just going to tell you that common sense. That's all I have to say, because that's what's really important is the common sense. Oh, Bill, this is the only way you can get me for 5 minutes.
Hey, I'm so glad to say that.
Have a seat. Join us.
Yes, because it's definitely time to transition from city stuff. Well, this is still like kind of city stuff.
This is great tourism stuff. I love this.
This is awesome.
I had a TDA meeting, which is the Tourism Development Authority, this week, and you would not believe our numbers are looking good.
Yep.
People are coming back to the hotels. They're out. You know, of course, we had a great run with the Sheriff's Association last weekend, the car show. Were we packed downtown or what? It was just really cool to see all the cars in our street and have everybody, you know, out and about. So it's all starting to come back, and we're really excited about what's getting ready to happen.
So Babe Ruth softball. I heard about this a couple of weeks ago, which shocked me, because once I learned about how big it was, I'm like, how come I haven't heard about this? Right? Because I believe you were the one that was telling me there are like 50 teams from across the state. You're talking 500 minimum, probably, of family members, you know, players, and it's over a 5-day period that are going to be staying in local hotels, eating at local restaurants, and obviously having a good time. You know what I mean? Because we're New Bern, and how can you not have a good time when you come here? So how did New Bern, because I guess we weren't supposed to be the host, right? So how did New Bern get this?
So
city that was,
pull it to you. Pull this around.
Yeah.
Like that and get close.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Because you're not very loud, so come close.
Now you're a pro. Come on every week. No.
The city that was supposed to host it was not able to due to COVID. They could not operate at full capacity.
Okay.
And so there was no way they could hold a tournament with that many people in it. And the town, part of the business weren't open or anything. So they came to us and asked us if we could host it. Last week, about a week and a half ago, it's not been very long. So we told them that we would because we want to make sure the girls had a place to play softball.
Well, yep. And I just have another shout out to City of New Bern, Craven County, and that we are a little more forward thinking and we're not afraid, which you saw with our in the street dining. We held Merry Merry Christmas. We're just, you know, we want to welcome these. Again, good common sense. We can have all these events. It's crazy to say we can't do it.
Because what I heard was another community's fear created economic impact for us.
Yes. Amen, amen, amen.
Isn't it great?
It is. I mean, to me, that sounds awesome. So you guys stepped up to the plate, but that's a short notice for something that's usually planned
a year.
Years out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Normally you do have at least a year, sometimes two or at least 18 months to get ready. So we are in mad scramble. And if someone from Babe Ruth comes and asks for your help, please seriously consider it. We are scrambling to get this together in the time that we have.
Right.
That's
right.
Good. And so now, how does somebody, these are little kids, right, per se?
Well, little kids, listen to you.
4 to 18. Babe Ruth can charter teams up to 18U. We have a 16U, so we have everything from 4 years old up
Goodness
to 16.
Woo! I mean, and so they'll be here for this tournament? This is a state tournament, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, when I hear about 500 people, all I see is they need hotel rooms, and that's really good for tourism, and that helps. That's how we get funded, is that tourism tax. So, and they bring families. That's what we love about the kids, is that they don't travel by themselves. They come with mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and the whole bit, and that's really good because they're eating in our restaurants and shopping in our shops, and Academy Sports will be overrun with people needing supplies.
Yeah, it's really similar to conferences in that they're here for several days, but they're not playing all the time.
Right.
So, you know, they're at the ballpark an hour before and a little bit after their games, but they're in the community quite a bit of the time when they're here. So it's really good in that regard.
So will you only be staged at Creekside, or will it be all throughout the county?
Only at Creekside that they're playing.
There's enough fields there for you all to do the games, as many as you're going to need to use.
Yes, ma'am. We have our four fields that we normally use. The girls normally use two, and the boys use the two across. So we have the four there, and then we can use the adult fields in the back if we need extra fields.
Awesome. So, I mean, we are so fortunate to have a complex like Creekside. And a shout out to the county. You know, again, this is where we partner and work together, but, you know, great vision in taking that park and putting the fields and things we need so we can attract. And that was one of the things, oh man, it must have been maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we started formalizing a sports committee through tourism, because we know that it's important to bring sports teams here, but you have to have an inventory and you have to have facilities or you can't attract them. So that was a fulfillment of trying to have some of that.
Speaking of facilities, we play all our games on Trader and Bingle Fields.
Ah. Well, thank you. We realized the importance of doing that. We were happy to support.
Right. Things that you do, you know, at one point in time, continue to build down the road.
Right.
So
right.
It's not lost on us that a lot of people have contributed already to make the Babe Ruth League, popular and to give tons of kids a chance to pick something they enjoy and find out how far they can pursue it. I wish I knew how many kids have gone on to play college softball
because of
that started.
Sure.
So we have a question. Is this slow pitch or, let me see, is this slow pitch softball, do the older girls do fast pitch?
It's fast pitch.
It is fast
pitch. It is fast pitch.
Okay, all for all ages or?
Well, with the younger ones, we use a pitch machine.
Okay.
For 6U gets the pitch machine, and then they also can hit off the tee if they don't hit off the pitch machine. Then 8U uses pitch machine, and 10U is when they start actually pitching.
Pitching and doing that.
Hit pitch.
You know, I just think that's awesome. Tell us the date. I didn't hear the date of it.
June 26th through the 30th.
Okay, so this is going to lead in right to the 4th of July. People can hang around. This is great. We love having people in our city. It's going to be a great time of the year to really have them. Hopefully it won't be too hot.
So when me and you were talking before, you were telling me you guys had a great idea of not something that would not only support you guys but also support some of our local businesses, right? Because let's say I'm from Asheville. And I brought my Babe Ruth girls softball team here. We're ready to lose to the New Bern team. And, you know, but before we do, we wake up in the morning, we go down, and we have some world-famous Baker's Kitchen coffee. But then we get to the field, and it's like, well, what are we going to do for lunch? What are we going to do for whatever? And you guys are creating a sponsorship program where you're going to be handing every – am I correct on this? Every person that shows up, every team, little packets with here's a list of local places to eat, local things to do. So that's one thing that you're doing. And if you could talk a little bit about how does a local business here get involved in that to make sure that those families that are visiting us have the ability to put their little flyer in there and then – I don't even know if this is allowed with the city, Sabrina. You might be able to answer me this, but is there going to be some food trucks maybe at the field? Is there going to be
like, – Well, that's county property. So.
That's right. That's right. That's it county is county property. Property. So, Denny Booker, if you're listening.
we do both in the sense that at the field, we run a concession stand. We rent the space from the county, and we operate that. And during our regular season, that the proceeds from that – typically pay for umpires.
Sure.
There's a great deal more expense on us to stage the state game. So we still are going to depend on that at the field. Mm. And we have a couple of vendors who are sponsors of the league that Perfect. Set up yeah. and share the revenue with us. So we do have those kind of things. But like I say, that's just when they're at the field and they're in town,
sure.
you know, for so, much longer periods. So but maybe Melissa can say about one of the sponsors that's just stepped up and what they did and what we'll try and do for them.
Okay. So we've had a couple sponsors already. So MJ sponsored us at a bronze level, and Captain Ratty's sponsored us at our double platinum.
It's like the seafood battle.
Yes. So, but Captain Ratty's is really going above and beyond to help us out. So they did the double platinum. They are sending some volunteers to help, which is a big help.
Awesome.
They are donating some ice to us, and they're working on getting us some things from some vendors at cost. So that is a huge, huge help there. But the businesses, we have different sponsorship levels that mm-hmm. they can sponsor at. They'll get their name in on the brochure that you're talking about that goes yeah. to all the players and families. We're going to put out a big banner when people are coming in and leaving. So it's the last thing they see before they leave. Hey, go to these places, you know, in town. Mm-hmm. You know, just a reminder of everything that's out there, all of our sponsors. And then our platinum levels and above will also get a shout out during our open ceremonies. We'll make sure to mention them. That way they know, you know, exactly who's sponsoring mm-hmm. us and where to go with.
So if let's say I own a local restaurant, you know, mm-hmm. here in New Bern, right? And I'm like, man, I really want people to come visit my establishment. All these people coming in here, where do I go to say, hey, I want a pamphlet inside that handout? How do I let these people know about my little restaurant, my little store, as they're in town?
Okay. There's a couple ways. You can always call me, text me, email me, you know, I'm available. You can go to our New Bern Softball Facebook page. And you can message us through there. Also, we have set up a GoFundMe. That way, if you don't want to have to write the check, if you just want to go online and pay, mm-hmm. you can go on there. You in the comments list what kind of sponsorship you want and your business name. That way, we know who to put in, and you can donate your amount there. Even people who don't have the big business, but say I got an extra $5, $10, any little bit helps.
Right, sure. It all comes together.
So it can go there.
So let me tell you how it. Effective you're being this morning. So one of our listeners says Coach Bill was Mackenzie's first coach. She's now an 8U. So y'all stop by Southern Charm Salon and we will sponsor. So you got, hey. You got a sponsor right
That's
there.
That's awesome.
So, yeah,
That's
that awesome. Is. And we want to thank, you know, all our listeners because we have a great group. And then this is shared many times. And of course, tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be on 96.3.
Absolutely.
And you can listen to us there. But My wonderful friend Devonna says we need volunteers. Yes. So that's another part that's really important. And one group has stepped up. You need to contact the Junior League.
Okay.
So they have volunteers. That's their volunteering organization. So they would probably do that. But, you know, this is, yeah, we need them. You can't make it work without them.
And who's singing the national anthem?
And a lot of people know me from, I mean, I'm out on the road meeting business people all the time. Bill Poole, I'm with IBX Media. So if any of my customers or even acquaintances from that, please don't hesitate to call me, Bill at IBX Media. So all of us on the board would be happy to work with any businesses that would like to step up and help us out with this.
Yeah, and this is a great way to get the word out. Again, share this video, please. Share it, get out there. If you missed some of what we said this morning, you can tune in at 96.3 tonight at 6 p.m. and listen to a replay of the show. We're always glad to put out the good word. But, you know, youth sports is really so important for today's youth. It keeps them focused. It keeps them, you know, my kids were always involved in youth sports. And, you know, it was interesting. My husband and I say we didn't spend $1 on rehab or attorneys. So we feel like that was the result of them being involved in sports. Now, pretty rough. They're not such good adults, but, you know, they were really good, you know, back then. Buddy will argue with me. Charles wants you to know you have the best mustache in broadcasting.
it's a little Love rough Charles. This morning. I hustled over. I hustled to a gas line, and then I hustled over.
Okay, so.
It's like rolly fingers, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But we do need people to step up. This is really important for our youth. It's important for our city and county because it impacts all of us. It's not a county thing. It's not a city thing. It's a New Bern thing. It's who we are as a community. And when I say New Bern, I paint the broad brush because, you know, we're getting really technical in our old age because, you know, Trent Woods really isn't New Bern, but that's their
address. Might as well be.
River Bend and Fairfield Harbor, but they all use our facilities. So, again, we're in this together. We are totally in this together. Somebody's telling the legend Coach Bill still out at us. That's from Don. Don, thanks.
my oldest is 31, and I coached her when she was 5. So,
and that's these volunteer coaches. You couldn't have these leagues and do what you do without the volunteer coaches.
Right.
And so it's really important that people like that step up. So what are some of the volunteer jobs that you have out there if people are considering? What are you going to need your volunteers to do?
Well, we need people in concessions. We'll have to have people keeping score, announcing players coming up and down, maintaining the water coolers in the dugouts, field maintenance between games, selling T-shirts. We've got, help me out.
Well,
I'm trying to think.
And to, you know, we're going to set it up so that we don't have as much gate control because the teams, we're going to build the admissions and everything into the fees that all of the teams pay to do the tournament. But we'll still need somebody that, you know, is looking. You don't want a giant crew of people to come that aren't in the participation. So we'll have armbands and we'll have, you know, just some monitoring that we'll need to do. So that's a volunteer thing.
So I'm going to ask you another question, put you on the spot here. So why do you have to raise all this money? Why do you need these sponsorships and money? Where do the funds go to?
A good chunk of it's going to go to umpires because it costs a lot for the umpires. We've got a lot of games going on. So that's a good chunk of it. We also have to pay Babe Ruth for their sponsorship. We have to pay for the hotel rooms. We have to put up state officials. We have to put up umpires that come more than 50 miles, I believe it is. So we've got a hotel rooms for 5 days we have to pay.
How many total games is this?
Probably 200.
It will depend. We still don't know the exact number of teams, but these tournaments are double elimination, and you'll have 6U, 8U, 10U, 12U, 16, and 18. So you'll have all those divisions playing double elimination. So, I mean, it's a math game as to how many games, but there'll be a lot of games.
Yeah. Well, and you're right, and the umpires and all that is very expensive. So, you know, just understand that they're raising funds to put the tournament on. It's not funds to, you know, pay you to run the league or anything like that. It's to put this tournament on. It's important. Without the funds, they can't do this. Now, will there be admission charges to watch the games?
No, the team is taking on that charge. So normally we charge a gate fee when you come in.
Okay.
But just with everything going on, we're putting it to the team. So each team will be in charge for their gate fee. So they'll pass it on to their parents to pay.
I see.
But that covers everybody. Okay. So everybody can come watch them. There's no limit on how many people can come in with your gate fee pay. Everybody gets in.
Okay. Yeah, so. Just ideas and stuff. So your website, we had it up a minute ago. Where can people get more information about this tournament?
There is some on our website, New Bern Softball. NewBernSoftball.com is our website. And then our Facebook page is where a lot of the information is being posted, New Bern Softball.
Okay, New Bern Softball Facebook page. You definitely want to go on there, get the information, find out about sponsorships. They have a GoFundMe page. They need volunteers, you know, just share this information and let's make this so good that they'll want to come back again and again, and that'll be really good for New Bern. So.
I said, if you own a restaurant and you're not going to take advantage of this little bit of advertising, 500, you know, all these people coming in, this is a prime opportunity to have a great business, you know, weekend. And so I encourage everybody.
So is it over? It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Saturday through Wednesday.
Oh, Saturday through Wednesday. Okay. So, and those are good days because, you know, we tend to be slower, you know, on days other than Saturdays and Sundays. So it's good to have that additional business in and, you know, it's just great opportunity for people to get involved and come, you know, they'll come into our downtown wherever they are. I'm sure right now they'll take up every hotel room in our city plus have to go towards Havelock. To use the rooms, and I think that's a good thing because, again, that just generates economic impact to our county.
Absolutely.
Really, really good. So, you know, this is awesome. Thank you for coming on and being here this morning and talking about it. And, Bill, it's always good to see you.
Well, thanks to City Talk for giving us the time.
Look, are you keeping Henry Hinton straight? That's all I want to know.
I hope.
My good friend Henry.
I hope to see him for the first time in many weeks today. Okay. Yeah, he's doing great. He's like Henry always is. He is running 90 miles an hour.
Well, I mean, that's how we keep it going. But I do want to, you know, I always want to shout out to Henry and thank him for his partnership with City Talk and, you know, putting our show on the broadcast. We really appreciate that. And we get a lot of feedback. So I'll tell you, I do get a lot of feedback of people who have listened to it.
You know, when we picked Friday evening, I was a little worried that wasn't a great time. And at least in my case, I've heard most of the shows on the radio. I don't know what it is about Friday evening, but I have time.
They're in the car getting ready to go for their cocktails.
Something like that.
Start the weekend and get it right. Going to softball games and doing that. But this is what our community is all about. This is what makes New Bern, Craven County, surrounding areas the best place in America to live. I'm thoroughly convinced of that as I'm seeing more and more people coming into our community, buying homes, just saying, hey, this is a great place. And it's because of people like you all that step up, make it a great place, do so much for our youth. And I'm so appreciative of that. Hopefully you'll be seeing my little ones at some point. My 8-year-old is my gymnastics queen. So that's her chosen path. And I'm so proud of her. She just got back from the regionals and placed. She placed gold in I think it was the bars. She placed gold. So
hey, I'll make another softball pitch. Both my girls did gymnastics and softball.
Well, poor Becky's worn out because I have a 2-year-old granddaughter and a 3-year-old grandson. Just running after them is enough. But we hope to get him out to softball pretty soon.
and I know some other kids do that because I was at the ballpark last night and there was a kid in the 6U division that was on second base, and there was a little break in the action, and she was doing handstands. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it so good. And, you know, if you don't have children playing, this is a great opportunity to just get out and watch our youth do their thing, and I think it's great. It's an outdoor activity. You know, come out and support them.
And I sort of want to salute our parents.
Absolutely.
You know, umpires will tell you, you know, one of the worst things in the world is to umpire Little League Baseball because of the parents. Let me tell you, we have had two fantastic years. We actually put a fall league together last year when the restrictions got to the point where we could do something, but our parents have been fantastic. Just almost nothing to speak of, and you know, the league is so much better when you have parents do that.
But it's so much better when you have parent involvement, no matter what it is.
Sure.
Sports, school, you know, any kind of recreation. I just think it's really important to be involved because that's what, you know, brings it all together.
Right.
So, well, Eric, thank you for stepping in today.
Yeah, Steve.
And Lee, I hope you're feeling better. We've had great conversation today. Everybody, it's Art Walk tonight. You really need to get out, and it's going to be a beautiful
and
afternoon.
Footloose on the News.
Yeah, and Footloose on the News. Yay, Foster. I think it's Brian Mayer tonight, who is going to be headlining and opening up our Footloose on the News series. And it's always great to hear our very own out there down at Union Point Park, Bring Your Chair. We've got Art Walk. Plein Air is out there. Watch people doing that. Things are really moving and grooving.
And street dining, right?
Street dining starting at 5 o'clock, absolutely.
And Foster's got 9 of those lined up.
He does.
Every other week. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, let me just tell you that our show next week, we're going to be welcoming Carolina East, the people from Carolina East. We hopefully will have Ray Leggett. If not, he'll have a representative. And we're going to be talking about the really big news that came out this week of the partnership and affiliation between Carolina East and UNC Health. Now, I'm going to preface that right now. I've told the people at the hospital, I'm very happy and I think this is really good, but I would have preferred to paint it purple. And that's all I'm going to say.
No reason whatsoever.
But I fully support that. We're going to learn more about this important affiliation, what it does mean, what it doesn't mean for our citizens, and the future is really bright for healthcare in New Bern and Eastern North Carolina. So I'm looking forward to having that guest next week. Hopefully Lee will feel better and be back with us. But thank you all for spending your time with us. Share our video. If you missed some of it, go to 96.3 tonight where you can listen to us again. Eric, appreciate you being here.
I get
here.
To say it, don't I?
Yes. And what are we going to do?
We're going to see you on the sidewalk.
We are going to see you. Thank you. Eric's out there with Live on the Street. So don't miss New Bern Live, everybody. Have a great weekend.